When you have something really important to say to someone, you want their full attention. I don't know about you, men, but my wife, when she wants my attention, when she's trying to tell me something, says, "Look at me, look at me." She's probably going to kill me for telling on her tonight, but that's all right. She says, "Look at me, look at me." And you know, when she really does that a lot, is she thinks I'm not telling her the whole story, you know, not the complete truth. She knows I can't look her in the eyes and tell her a fib. So, well, on this night when our Savior came into our midst in that little town of Bethlehem, God had a very important message to communicate to those shepherds. So he said, listen up, you shepherds, I've got some really important news for you and for all humanity. And he lit up the night sky around them, around their campfires, so that it was just so brilliant that they were just frightened to death. Now, I wouldn't think that shepherds would be ones to get too scared about stars, because they live all of their life with their flocks out at night, sleeping on the ground around a campfire. And so they had seen stars, lots of stars. They've probably seen a lot of shooting stars even. But this was no shooting star, and they were certain of that. It was something very out of the ordinary, very unusual, to cause such a fright amongst wise, experienced shepherds. Well, what do you suppose it looked like, the glory of God shining around them on that night? Maybe like a million super floodlights shining down on them. But it's interesting that supposition is really about all we have to go on, because Scripture really never gives us a very complete, clear description of the glory of God. In the Old Testament, there are a few passages that give us some insight. When God led his people out of Egypt, out of slavery, and toward the promised land, we're told in Exodus chapter 13, verses 21 and 22, that the Lord went in front of them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them along the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, so that they might travel both by day and by night, if they so desired. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. So the glory, the presence of God, was manifested in that pillar of fire and that pillar of cloud. But it was not only his leading presence, it was also his protective and defensive presence as well. For when Pharaoh's army started pursuing them, the glorious presence of God moved to the defensive position behind them, between them and the Egyptian army. The angel of God, who was going before them, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from in front of them and took its place behind them. It came between the army of Egypt and the army of Israel. And so the cloud was there with the darkness, and it lit up the night. One did not come near the other all night long, one army against near the other army. Now, when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments, the tablet of the law on Mount Sinai, his divine presence was manifested in a cloud which covered the top of the mountain. And here's the way it's described in Exodus 14. Then Moses went up to the mountain, and the cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it out of the cloud. The appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a devouring fire on top of the mountain in the sight of the people of Israel. This cloudy, fiery presence of God's glory took up residence in the tent of tabernacle. When the cloud moved ahead and led the way, then the people moved and followed. The same cloud of God's presence, his glory, filled the temple at its dedication, the Temple of Solomon. And we're told that when Isaiah received his call to be God's prophet, that there was that glory of God present in the temple manifested through the cherubs that sang holy, 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 and brought a coal of fire and touched Isaiah's lips with it. I want you to consider for just a moment what our Lord's existence was like before he consented to take on our human nature, our human flesh. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 11 says very clearly that our Lord shared the divine glory of God the Father. And we get a little bit of a glimpse of that divine glory in his transfiguration on the mountain. Eugene Peterson, in his paraphrase of the Gospels called The Message, puts it this way. His appearance changed from the inside out, right before our eyes. His clothes shimmered, glistening white, whiter than any bleach could ever make them. Well, wow, that's quite a contrast to the humble entrance of our Lord into our human presence on this night so long ago. Notice that both in that transfiguration experience and also around the shepherd's campfire, the glory of the Lord isn't present just to scare them to death. And I can imagine it probably almost scared the shepherds right out of their sandals. But it's there to get their attention because God has something to communicate to them, something important. He wants them to carry this good news to the people, to spread the news that he has come into their presence in his Son. Tonight, in a world that's often as dark as that night around the shepherds, we celebrate again the glorious presence of God reflected and symbolized for us this evening in the flickering lights of our candles, which we will light momentarily as we sing Silent Night. It's reflected, the reflected glory of God. And that's probably good, for I doubt that we could endure the full radiance of his divine glory and presence any more than those shepherds could that night around their campfire. For Scripture tells us that no one has ever seen God. But it also goes on to say that the Son, Jesus Christ the Son, has made him known. And John in his gospel says, the Word became flesh and lived among us. God's divine glory took residence in the human flesh of that baby laid in the manger. We can stand to look at Jesus. And when we do, we are seeing the glory of God. For Jesus said, he who has seen me has seen the Father. And isn't that exactly what the angel told the shepherds to do? Those shepherds so scared stiff by the glory of God blazing all around them. Go, the angel said, and look at the baby. A baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. Now that they could stand to look at, and so can we, even by candlelight, maybe especially by candlelight, so warm and friendly, inviting and comfortable. In Christ, that is what the glory of God has become. Not frightening, but approachable. When the shepherds had been to the manger and seen the Messiah, the Christ, it says that they went on their way glorifying and praising God. So the glory continues. They were letting their light shine, as we have all been told to do, so that God may be glorified. Well, what does the glory of the Lord look like? Well, look around you this evening. Look at your brothers and sisters, or your husband, or your wife, or your parents, or a relative that is here this evening. Look around them, and especially when we have just the candlelight this evening, and look at the faces of our brothers and sisters, and we see the glory of the Lord present in our midst. And we can learn again that lesson that we probably learned as children when we learned to sing that song, This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine all over Boston Spa and wherever else you may live. Do that, and God's glory will continue to shine, and he will continue to be glorified. Amen.